Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Unending Rebuild. Really excited to be back. We are back with our division reviews. This time, we are moving on from the NFC and moving into the AFC. So a whole nother conference for me to keep track of. And today, we're going to be doing the AFC East. We're going to be walking through the Patriots, walking through the Dolphins, the Bills, the Jets, those AFC East teams that we all know and love so very much. Joining me, as always, are Josh Lee and Jared Perlman. Guys, say what's up.
What up, guys? Josh Lee here. Super excited to talk about the AFC East. I think that this is going to be a very, very fun division. It's kind of the first time in a while where a lot of uncertainty in this division. Like, the Jets got better. They got Aaron Rodgers, Mr. Hall of Famer. The Dolphins had an incredible offense last year. Their defense got much, much better. And the Patriots aren't stuck with Matt Patricia anymore, so I'm excited to talk about them as well. And then the Bills are the Bills. We know what the Bills are. The Bills are beast of a team. Excited to talk about it.
What's up, guys? Jared here. Yeah, I agree. This division is going to be fun. It hasn't been this competitive in a long time, like how it is in the past couple years. So it really could go any way, I think, this year, especially with Aaron Rodgers coming over to the Jets. We got lots to talk about. I'm excited. Let's do it.
Yeah, guys, we got a lot to talk about today, but before that, I just want to pat ourselves in the back a little bit. Last week, we talked about Amari DiMercato being a deep sleeper. I brought it up and as a deep, deep, deep sleeper. I think it was like 3% on sleeper. And I did a little Reddit write-up for it on the Dynasty Reddit page, and I was like, you know what? I feel passionate about this. Let's send it out there. The response was crazy, and now since last week, DiMercato has been like the number one trending player on Sleeper, which is just hysterical to me. I mean, he wasn't on the top 50 on Sleeper at all. He wasn't anywhere, and then now he's been number one and is up to 7% owned, and it's been like this since I posted it. So that was kind of cool. That was kind of fun.
You doubled the ownership. Damn, people getting on the train. Let's do it. I like that.
Yeah, we are the market founding members. Market mover over here. Honestly, I couldn't believe it. People started commenting on the Reddit post being like, he's trending on Sleeper. And I was expecting him to maybe be like 45th. He was just number two.
Number two. Let's go.
He's moved up to number one and he's been there. And I'm curious to see how long it'll go. You know, I mean, this is the dead, dead period. So only like the true sickos are really looking at Sleeper right now. But yeah, it's fun. And let's see if we can try to uncover some other guys like that moving forward. But yeah, all right, let's get into our division breakdown. Pat ourselves on the back long enough. I think that was about a minute and a half. I think we deserve that. Let's get into our first team. We're going to break down the New England Patriots first. I think the biggest thing from the Patriots offseason was getting rid of Matt Patricia. No more of that. No more pencil behind the ear bullshit. We got a real offensive coordinator coming in, Bill O'Brien, and with him will come an actual NFL offense. Josh, I'm going to kick it on over to you. What are your opening thoughts about this Patriots offense?
Yeah, I'm excited about this Patriots offense, very surprisingly. Once I started projecting out what the offensive production is going to look like from the New England Patriots, I was honestly very surprised. I think the Patriots might be the most undervalued team in the NFL right now in terms of offensive production from a fantasy perspective. So looking at Bill O'Brien's resume as a offensive coordinator slash head coach in the NFL. So back when he was an offensive coordinator for New England back in 2011, obviously they had Tom Brady, so take that into account. But they were the third best offense in the NFL. They were second in yards, third in touchdowns, and they ran a ton of 12 personnel. They ran almost exclusively 12 personnel. 12 personnel means that there's two tight ends on the field. Rob Gronkowski that year had 90 receptions, 1,327 yards, and 17 touchdowns. Aaron Hernandez had 79 receptions, 910 receiving yards, and 7 touchdowns. And then their wide receiver one, Wes Welker, had 122 receptions, 1,569 yards, and 9 touchdowns. So this offense was elite. Obviously, Tom Brady was manning the helm of this offense, but Bill O'Brien was calling up the plays. He was scripting everything out, and he utilized the tight ends in this offense very, very heavily. And having two guys like Gronk and Aaron Hernandez, just like insane athletes, is going to help boost that entire offense. But I'm not saying that Gesicki and Hunter Henry are anywhere close to Gronk and Aaron Hernandez, but these guys are both extremely athletic players who have receiving chops. And if they can produce even half, 50% of what Gronk and Aaron Hernandez produced in a 12 personnel heavy run offense, they're going to outproduce their ADPs and their fantasy value, their dynasty value massively. So there are two guys that I'm very, very excited about. Actually, Gesicki wasn't used at all when he was in Miami. He was very frustrated and upset because of that. And the guy that drafted him, Bill O'Brien, he basically, after Bill O'Brien left the Miami Dolphins, Gesicki became an afterthought. Wasn't even utilized at all in Mike McDaniel's offense. So he signed with the New England Patriots for a reason. He signed over here for $10 million, and he's going to get utilized, I think, pretty heavily in this New England offense. So what do you guys think?
Yeah, I think the way their roster is constructed right now, it makes a lot of sense to go 12 personnel. I think we didn't see a lot last year from second round pick Tyquan Thornton. He's a speedy guy. They got some carries for him where he took it to the house. Some times where he was in open space, he was able to make some moves. But overall, I think he had one of the lowest yards per route run in the league last year. Really wasn't effective down the field. And then they bring over Devontae Parker, who they just signed from Miami, a guy that I don't have confidence in to continue to be a one. He really showed about one dominant year in his fifth year in Miami, and kind of fell off after that. Juju Smith-Schuster, I mean, I think we kind of saw the same thing as the two. He was fantastic in Pittsburgh behind Antonio Brown, but Antonio Brown was so good, you know, so much focus had to be on him. Juju really hasn't proven himself to be a high number one, but I do kind of like his price tag right now where he's at. I'm in redraft. I do like that. And, you know, he's still only 26 years old, I think. So, you know, Juju could be around for a few more years. People are pretty depressed on his price tag, but I'm not expecting a huge year. But, you know, he had 900 yards last year. That's still a good player, a player that, you know, you can fill in on your bye weeks. Somebody like that I'm a little bit concerned about, though, is Ramondre Stevenson. If they are in 12 personnel, usually kind of tight ends and RBs share targets. And if two tight ends are out there looking for targets, I'm not sure Ramondre is going to be able to keep up his pace of like almost 70 catches like he did last year, especially now that Ty Montgomery's healthy. I was looking at week one last year when he got hurt. I'm just saying he played 37% of the snaps and he had four targets. If there's another running back that's also getting close to four targets a game, then Ramondre is going to be really hurting. I'm not saying that's a definite, but we've definitely seen a lot of times that the Patriots have liked to use two running backs and people, you know, are not sure who it's going to be, but that's because they have three guys that, you know, may end up being a backup in Pierre Strong and Kevin Harris and Ty Montgomery, really two guys that could be like taking the first and second down work and a guy that is a third down specialist. So they kept all these guys on the roster that I think, you know, I'm a little bit worried if they do a lot of 12 personnel, there's other check down options outside of Ramondre. What do you guys think about that?
Yeah, I think I didn't realize, I just looked at how many targets Ramondre had last year. He had 88 targets. That's a shit ton of targets. I did not realize he was targeted that heavily. And that might have honestly been more of a product of Matt Patricia's offense. It was just so uncreative. They were like, let's just dump it off to Ramondre Stevenson every single play. And there were some games where Ramondre Stevenson had 10 targets. He had more than seven targets in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. He had over seven targets in five games. So I don't know if, like you said, Perlman, I don't know if that's going to be a sustainable pace. I do think maybe his touchdowns could increase just from the nature of the offense. So he might, because obviously he's going to be the goal line back here. Damon Harris isn't there anymore. So he could see a little bit of touchdown upside, but in terms of targets, I think that number has to come down.
Yeah, I agree. The touchdown upside's interesting. But as well, they're still in rumors for D-Hop. You know, if they get him, touchdown upside could look a little bit better too, like help him move the chains. But yeah, I think there's some concern for him.
My thoughts on the Patriots are that I thought that I was going to come in here and be a contrarian and say that I kind of was excited for the Patriots a little bit this year against consensus, but turns out, you know, we're in our little echo chamber over here at the Unending Rebuild, where, you know, I think we just all see value. You know, I think at this point we're experienced to, you know, that even, we're not saying that the Patriots could make a top offense in the NFL, but compared to where people are ranking them, I think we're all above consensus here. And I mean, we've talked about, but Patricia being gone is massive. Mac Jones was promising his rookie year too. You know, now everyone thinks he's terrible. I mean, I was a big like purveyor of the Bailey Zappi's better stuff, but only because I was trying to move Bailey Zappi, and I ended up doing so. But you know, I think Mac Jones is still like could be a solid like game manager plus type quarterback. And Josh, I really like that you brought up Mike Gesicki too, because he's basically a wide receiver. He's a huge body, great red zone target. And excited to see how they incorporate him into this offense, especially with such a lackluster wide receiver room. And again, with the running back room as well, you know, I think there's value to be had there with the Pierre Strong, with Kevin Harris, not just as a handcuff, but I think there's a strong chance, especially for Strong, that he ends up having a decent role in the offense as well. And, you know, Bill has shown us over the years that we think there's going to be someone who's the guy, and then someone just sneaks up and takes some of those touches. Now, there's been a lot of chatter about Ramondre, about how he's different from the other guys, and that may very well be, but I don't know. I'm going with years of Bill Belichick precedent over Ramondre Stevenson's talent. You know, I think Ramondre is very good. I just don't think he's like that good that Bill Belichick is going to abandon that philosophy. But, you know, I could be wrong. Maybe Bill likes the guy and Bill has his guy. So, but yeah, I'm excited to see how this Patriots offense works. You know, there are some guys that I would be going to try to acquire here, guys like Gesicki, guys like maybe Juju, even Mac Jones, guys that I think that at the end of the year will be ranked higher than what they currently are, just because they're so suppressed because people think that this offense is going to be that good.
Yeah, Mac Jones is a guy that I didn't touch on at all. Like, I do think, you know, he is starter caliber player in the league right now, and he's just, like, priced as basically dirt, I feel like, in everyone's mind. You know, he's right above Trey Lance on Keep Trade Cut, and everyone absolutely kind of hates Trey Lance right now. He's below Derek Carr, who's, 8 years his senior, and on a new team. We really don't know what's going to happen with him. You know, I like Mac Jones at his cost right now. I think, you know, he could definitely be a good buy and should outperform his ADP as well.
Yeah, I agree with that. I like Mac Jones at his ADP right now too, because he's not valued at all. But I'm going to go in pure speculation mode right now. And I want you guys just to react to this. But I projected out, the target splits for the entire offense, or the guys that are on the offense right now, plus pure speculations, but I think DeAndre Hopkins is going to join the Patriots. I just remember every single time D-Hop plays against Bill Belichick, there's a shot of them, of Bill Belichick and DeAndre Hopkins talking after the game. Almost every single time, without fail, Bill Belichick is always talking to D-Hop. So I kind of envision D-Hop ending up here. And with D-Hop in this offense, I'm projecting 580 pass attempts for Mac Jones for this entire offense. That's just an average of all of Bill O'Brien's offenses in Houston, and then averaged with his with Tom Brady's averages in 2011. That averages out to 580 pass attempts. So with that breakdown, I have D-Hop at 120, Juju at 100, Gesicki at 100, Hunter Henry at 70, Devontae Parker at 70, Ramondre Stevenson, Pierre Strong at 70, kind of combined like overall backfield. And then the rest of it just like spread out among whoever else, Tyquan Thornton, Kayshawn Boutte, Kayshawn Booty. I don't know. Whoever else is in that New England pass receiver room.
Gesicki at 100 targets would be insane. I mean, that's a screaming buy right there. I mean, that's probably a top 6-7 tight end right there, right? I mean, especially with the types of targets that Gesicki gets. I mean,
It's definitely aggressive. It's probably a very, very aggressive sort of bet, but like it's, I see it as realistic. When Rob Gronkowski was the one in this offense in 2011, he had 125 targets. We could even bump down Gesicki down to like 90 to be a little bit more within the realm of expectations. But let me check Gesicki's target numbers when he was actually a featured guy in the offense. He broke 112 targets in 2021. So I see 100 targets as kind of realistic for Mike Gesicki. He had 89 in 2019, 85 in 2020, 112 in 2021, and then 52 last year because he was not a part of Mike McDaniel's offense at all.
Yeah, Mike McDaniel hated that man. But, yeah, I mean, I think 100 is probable but not likely. Or, possible but not likely. But, man, yeah, that would completely change his ranking in the dynasty world. And we got to think too that, you know, this has happened before with Hunter Henry and Jonnu Smith, where Bill brings in some free agent tight end and then they don't really do anything. So I think Gesicki profiles differently from them, especially Jonnu, but I don't know. I would buy for his current price, but I'm hesitant to say that 100 targets happens, but that doesn't make him a good buy still.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's, you know, it's probably a bit ambitious considering it doesn't appear that man can block at all because he wasn't used in McDaniel's system apparently for that reason. But, you know, we have seen the two dominant tight ends in New England, and it would be fun if it happened. I think D-Hop probably gets a few more targets than 120 if he's in that offense all 17 games. Dude's a monster, and I think Mac would realize that too. But, yeah, I mean, not too far off. I think those are pretty good projections.
All right. With that, let's move on to our second team, and let's do the Miami Dolphins. So over there, we got Mike McDaniel's system, the system that hates Mike Gesicki but loves everything else. I mean, man, this is a fun team. I mean, Tua is a great quarterback to distribute the ball to Waddle and Hill. The running back room is anybody's guess. We can debate that endlessly. Tight ends don't matter. And, yeah, do any wide receivers beyond Waddle and Hill matter? Does anyone matter besides Tua, Waddle, and Hill? Jared, kick us off with your opening thoughts.
I think that's a good way to phrase it because we all know that, you know, Waddle and Hill are absolute beasts. I do think, you know, it's kind of crazy. Like, Tyreek had 1,700 yards, and he only had 7 receiving touchdowns, 1 rushing touchdown. He could have been, like, even better, dude. This man is a dog. He said he was playing off pure athleticism. Let's see him get the plays. Let's get my man to 2K yards this year. But, all right, anyway, I think there is definitely opportunity in the backfield. I don't like that Miami is in all the rumors with Dalvin Cook, because I'd love it if it was Devon Achane. And just, you know, he got to take over that backfield. But I still think there's value for him no matter what. Even if Dalvin comes over, it would be a nice buy period, especially early in the year. But really, I think throughout the year, if Dalvin comes over, I think, you know, he may have a couple intermittent games. But he's going to definitely take a long time to sort of be a producer on the field. And so that would be a nice buy period for the dynasty community. But I think he still has a future as the number one back there. And if any, it kind of, his value is already suppressed right now, just with the rumors. I think it would be great if, you know, maybe he went to a rival like the Jets we're going to talk about later or somewhere else and stayed out of this backfield and let Achane get his shot as a rookie. It really all depends on what we see with Dalvin, because Jeff Wilson and Raheem Mostert are also two guys that have seen a lot of carries in the past. Miami doesn't run a whole bunch, but, you know, they're kind of close to league average at about 350. And so there's a lot of value. Like, there's a ton of speed in the offense. They play, you know, with their wide receivers out wide, and you got to you got to set up and play your deep coverages to make sure they don't blow by you because they're so fast. And that leaves a lot of space underneath for a guy like Raheem Mostert with his speed. So I like all of, like trying to go get all of those guys in Dynasty because, you know, people have, you know, continue to suppress their value year after year. If you know one's the starter one week, he's probably going to have a good game. So I'm always a proponent of going to buy the Dolphins. I draft them everywhere in my leagues. It's hard for me to, you know, I think I got a Dolphins bias, but I think they're going to be a great team this year as long as Tua stays healthy. He's been taking his judo, you know, he got bigger. If you look at Tua, any of the videos, you know, he looks beefy. He looks thick. That should help him stay healthy. I think they have extra padding in the helmets this year. If you so choose it, I think Tua has opted into that. So I think, you know, all things, you know, point to Tua being more healthy this year. And if that's the case, go buy all the Dolphins because they're great.
Yeah. So I did the projections for the Dolphins and I have mixed feelings because I think this offense, like you said, Proman, it's going to be super, super consolidated. It's going to be Tyreek Hill. It's going to be Jalen Waddle. Last year, the Dolphins were the fourth best passing offense in terms of yards per attempt. They were first in yards per attempt. Only 11th in points though. So surprising that they had all these yards, but weren't able to convert a lot of these into points. I think a lot of that was after Tua got hurt.
There are two brutal drops, from one from Chase Edmonds and one from Trent Sherfield, that I'm just thinking about in the end zone. That like, dude, Chase Edmonds dropped the touchdown, and then Tua got hurt like the next play. It was brutal. Like, it was a beautiful drive, dude. Tragic. Should have been much better in the red zone.
Yeah, they definitely could have been. So definitely could see some regression there to the positive side. But Waddle and Tyreek had 287 targets out of 584. That's a 50% target share between just those two. They had 64% of the passing yards. Insane. They had 50% of the passing touchdowns. They were literally 50% of the offense last year. And I expect the same sort of stuff, but even more from Waddle because he's in for his year three breakout. His year three breakout into the elite tier. Probably the thing that surprised me the most was that the Dolphins run one of the slowest offenses in the NFL. They are 27th in number of plays run. So they run a very, very slow pace. And I expect their defense to kind of be unreal this year. They had a good defense last year. They added Jalen Ramsey. They added who's that linebacker that they added?
Bradley Chubb.
They added Bradley Chubb for the defensive end. Yeah, this defense is going to be insane this year. But yeah. there might have been one of the persons I'm forgetting right now. But I expect their defense to be unreal, and I think that's just going to kind of push them along where they're fine. Continue to run slow. They're going to run short, shallow routes. They're going to throw the ball deep whenever they have the opportunity to. But I expect them to run the ball a lot this year. So they're going to. I mean, Jeff Wilson, Raheem Mostert, these guys always get hurt. So like Proman said, like they're going to be valuable because there's going to be weeks when some guys are going to miss some games, and the games where the other guy's missing, your guy's going to put up some pretty decent production. Devin Achane should be pretty good this year, but he's also pretty small. So there's injury risk with him as well. And then Dalvin Cook, obviously there's a lot of rumors there. Maybe he ends up there as well. We'll see if that happens. But I kind of just expect this to be a super consolidated offense. Great defense, run the ball, win games. That's kind of what I expect from the Dolphins this year.
Yeah, I liked how you talked about the offense being consolidated, how both of you talked about that, because it really is between Waddle and Hill. And I think it speaks to Mike McDaniel's overall just genius, you know? It's so simple. Just get the ball into your best player's hands.
Exactly. Like,
why the fuck would you throw it to Cedric Wilson when you have Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle? Just get them open. So I really appreciate that from McDaniel. And also it shows how efficient his system is when you can basically plug and play any running back and they'll do pretty good. I mean, he knew his guys in Mostert and Jeff Wilson. He's like, come from San Francisco and come to Miami. And you, we bring in A-Chain now too, but You know, I also want to talk about Salvin Ahmed and Myles Gaskin, not even from a Dolphins perspective, but especially if they bring in Cook, man. Probably both of them, if not at least one of them, gets cut. And I wouldn't be shocked if they end up some team's RB3. You know, so I'll keep an eye on them. They might make a roster. Could be a deeper ad, literally free. And especially Ahmed, I really like how he runs the ball. I always thought he seemed decent. And then Gaskin, I mean, he produced in the past primarily on opportunity as opposed to talent, but he's shown he can hold down a job. So I don't think that either of those guys should be completely not considered right now. Otherwise, the tight end room, we know Mike McDaniel doesn't like to use tight ends. I don't think I would bother. No one really excites me either. Elijah Higgins has gotten some buzz as like a wide receiver converted to tight end. But I mean, those guys, I mean, it's, you have to be pretty big for it to pan out. And he's not, I mean, Darren Waller's the list, and I think that's it.
You're not excited for Durham Smythe?
I didn't even want to say the name. I honestly, I don't know much about him, but his name screams walking tight end. Like, there's no way that he's walking tight end. Like, 280, like 6'6".
Durham Smythe.
Yeah, like, that dude was born to block. Same with the next guy, Eric Saubert. Like, just some blockers over there. But
those are some offensive linemen.
Yeah, seriously. But, yeah, I mean, otherwise, I don't really want any other receiver. I mean, I think Braxton Berrios maybe offers them something that they didn't have last year. You could see how that gets incorporated. My guy Eric Ezukonma is still there, another training camp legend. That's a bummer. He never got any playing time last year, not even over River Craycroft, so I'm not really concerned about him anymore. But, yeah, that's my assessment of the Miami Dolphins football team.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I
think make it easy. Just
the last thing I gotta say is stop playing with my man Waddle, best number two in the league. He set the rookie receptions record and then came back, followed that up with 1,350 yards in his second year. Like, best number two in the league. That's a dog right there.
I love by how far. Mike McDaniel,
I love Waddle.
I love how Mike McDaniel went in there and be like, why are you guys giving this guy like the worst like reception or the worst targets ever? Like, get this guy the ball in open space, and his receptions went down and his yards went up. I love Mike McDaniel. What a guy.
Yeah, I think he had the highest yards per target in the league at like 18.2 or something like that. Something unreal. It's deep bombs.
Got that extra gear. He's a beast.
Yeah. They're like, let's make the 4-2 guy just catch everything behind the line of scrimmage. Nuts. All right. Moving on from the Dolphins, we have another team in the AFC East, believe it or not. We have the Buffalo Bills. Buffalo's offense is going to be pretty similar last year. Not too much new over there. I mean, you got the addition of Kincaid. You got Damian Harris. Otherwise, though, I mean, we're looking pretty similar to last year. Got Josh Allen killing it as always. And then the Gabe Davis hype is finally over. It's like the one thing I got right last year. And Stephon Diggs had a little bit of drama in the offseason, but, you know, he's been reeled back in. Josh Allen gave him a talking to. Otherwise, Josh, what are you thinking?
I love this Bills offense. This Bills offense is going to be so good. I think it's going to be better than it's been in years. I think it's definitely going to be better than it was last year. You got to remember, Josh Allen played with a torn ligament in his elbow. I think he tore it in like week 6 or 7, and he played the entire season off on a torn, I think it's called a UCL ligament in his elbow. It makes it really uncomfortable to throw the ball, but he was still a beast. He was still QB2. I think he's firmly in the quarterback one position for this season. And kind of the piece that I'm most excited about is the addition of Dalton Kincaid. Dalton Kincaid was someone that Perlman and I really, really liked. I think you missed this episode, guys. Perlman and I really, really liked Dalton Kincaid coming into the NFL draft. He goes to the Buffalo Bills, probably the perfect spot for Dalton Kincaid, because he was literally the number one wide receiver for one of the best teams in the country in the Utah Utes. And kind of just looking at the Bills depth chart, they need a wide receiver three. They've been looking for kind of that top end wide receiver three, that slot guy, ever since Cole Beasley left the team. And typically the wide receiver three for the Bills usually gets about 100 targets. Last year was an exception because Isaiah McKenzie was very, very mid. He did not live up to their expectations at all. And Josh Allen also had that torn UCL in his elbow, so he only had 567 pass attempts last year. In 2021, when Cole Beasley was the wide receiver three, Cole Beasley had 112 targets. Josh Allen threw the ball 646 times that year, so it makes sense. Gabe Davis was the two. He had 72 targets. Dawson Knox was four, came in at 71 targets. 2020, Emmanuel Sanders was the wide receiver two, only had 62 targets. Diggs had 166, but Cole Beasley, out of the slot, had 107 targets. And Cole Beasley has always been that reliable third down guy that can run the underneath routes, always get open no matter what. They've been looking for that ever since Cole Beasley left the team. Dalton Kincaid, I think, is going to be that guy for them this year. My projection for this season is Stephon Diggs, 160 targets. Gabe Davis, I actually have 110 targets for this year. Dalton Kincaid, 80 targets. Dawson Knox, 60. And then with Josh Allen at 650 pass attempts this year, that's still like 200 pass attempts that, or 200 targets that can get split up amongst the rest of the Bills wide receivers and the Bills running backs. So plenty of targets to go around in this offense. Josh Allen's going to sling the ball. And Dalton Kincaid, I think, is going to eat in this offense, even though people are kind of a little bit down on him because people say, oh, rookie tight ends in the NFL, they don't eat. They don't do anything in their rookie years. I think this is a very, very special scenario where Dalton Kincaid can really step up as the wide receiver three for the Bills, eat up 80 to 100 targets, and get a few touchdowns here or there. What do you guys think?
Yeah, so I agree that the Bills are absolutely searching for another pass catcher. They need it desperately, and Dalton Kincaid can certainly be that. Obviously, he's a rookie tight end. We're scared that it's going to take a while. I think you're maybe over-projecting Josh Allen's passing total. I think he had 567 attempts last year. He has a propensity to run the ball. I think they didn't really run too much outside of him last year. I think they only really had 306 total carries outside of Josh Allen. I think they might run the ball a little bit more than that this year. And they're a good team, so I don't think they're going to have to play from behind too often either. I think their defense is still going to be good, and they should score a lot of points. So I'm not disagreeing with the fact that, you know, it's going to be great offense, and I think Stephon and Josh Allen are going to be great. I just think maybe it's a little bit slower. Maybe it takes a little bit longer for Dalton Kincaid to get in there and start producing fantasy numbers. I also wanted to bring up Gabe Davis. I obviously missed on Gabe last year. You know, that hurt. I thought Gabe was going to be better. Adam Levitan tweeted it out like today or the day before. Thing about Gabe Davis, he ran the 16th most routes. Despite missing two games, he had ran 617 routes. His average depth target was 16.3, which was the fourth highest in the NFL. And he had a 17.5% target share, but he had only a 51.6% catch rate with the second highest drop rate and a bad contested catch rate. He just like couldn't catch the ball last year, which really hurt him. And, you know, we have seen that fixed from, you know, some wide receivers, obviously not to, you know, jump into the top tier of players, but Deontay Johnson being one guy that, you know, was just horrible with drops in his rookie year and has, you know, proved to be a solid NFL player, you know, despite still having just a couple drops. So hopefully Gabe can work on that. But they still really do need that third pass catcher. Like Josh said, it has been kind of a 100-yard position in the Bills offense in past years, and Isaiah McKenzie and you know, Devin Singletary and James Cook, they both got, like, all those guys had over 50 targets. McKenzie, Singletary, and Knox had over 50 targets. James Cook had 32 and Shakir had 20. So they kind of spread it around a lot more last year, but I do think, you know, they want to be more consolidated if they're able to. And that could be, but that could be the rookie, but I don't know. I think it might take a little bit for Kincaid to get in there. It might be Shakir to start, might be or somebody else for a little while. I don't know.
All right. Two things I want to say real quick. So I don't think the 650 pass attempts for Josh Allen is that outrageous because he threw 600 pass attempts 2 years ago, 650 pass attempts. So I think that that's just regressing back to pre-injury, I think is realistic. Maybe we can bump him down to 640 and Kincaid can go to like 75, Gabe Davis to like 105. Sure. But I do think that this defense is going to be a lot worse than it was last year. They lost Jordan Poyer. They lost Micah Hyde. They lost Tremaine Edmonds. Those are all three really big pieces of the defense. That's two key pieces of the secondary and their middle linebacker. I think this defense is going to be much, much worse than it's been in year past. And that's going to create these shootouts that we love. And I just love this Bills offense in a shootout. We've seen what the Bills offense can do in a shootout. We've seen them go back and forth with Patrick Mahomes. So I'm excited for this entire Bills situation, and I'm all in on this Bills offense this year. What do you think, guys? You've been a little quiet over there.
Yeah, I'm thinking about how the Bills are pretty smart, I think, because last year they realized that they had Stephon Diggs, they kind of had Gabe Davis, and not too much else outside of that. You know, Dawson Knox isn't going to take on that much more work. And they didn't really have any other solid pass catchers. I mean, I remember there was excitement for McKenzie, like we talked about. He had some big drops. And even someone like Khalil Shakir, everyone was looking for the next guy to kind of like get the Cole Beasley share. And that was just spread out amongst many different players. And I think that revealed a lot about the Bills in that, one, they didn't have any good options, and two, they're not going to force it down someone's throat. They're just going to spread it out. So this kind of touches on what we've been talking about with Kincaid, that he could fill this gap for sure, you know, but they're not going to force feed him. He's not just going to walk in and, you know, they're going to target him en masse in that slot position just because they drafted him. I think it shows that they're actually going to be looking for players that are good. I know that sounds kind of dumb, but a lot of teams just kind of like throw someone in there like, all right, you're the starter. But the Bills really worked the ball around last year, which was impressive from a personnel standpoint. I know Trent Sherfield has gotten a lot of love through training camp, brought him over from the Dolphins. I mean, I guess he could play that slot role, but I just don't really see anything coming out of that. So I really think it's Dalton Kincaid or bust. I'm not really thinking about Shakir or someone like Deonte Hardy at all for that role. I think at this point, Gabe Davis and Dawson Knox are almost buys. I mean, Dawson Knox is not bad. He's a very athletic tight end. He's had some decent production in the past. And I think him and Kincaid are going to be playing different positions and will be on the field at the same time a lot. And if Kincaid really takes over, well, then, you know, Dawson Knox's days in Buffalo are probably numbered. And he'll get a role elsewhere. And then with Gabe Davis, I mean, he's one of a few players in the NFL who has the potential to go off for a 99-yard touchdown every week. And that's someone that should be valued and is an awesome, awesome bye week filler, because sometimes you could just be like, please let it be that week. But otherwise, you know, the offense is so explosive that he can always get a touchdown. And I think people are starting to value him in like a, I don't know, like a Cortland Sutton kind of way, where, you know, he didn't live up to expectations, so therefore he's trash, which isn't true. I mean, Gabe Davis is not a refined route runner. He's primarily a deep threat, but he's a deep threat on a poor wide receiver room and one of the best offenses in the NFL. And people are forgetting that. People are just thinking that, you know, they're just this bum that he didn't live up to expectation last year. And, you know, I still think he's going to be a player that you can start comfortably some weeks, you know, and just be like, maybe this is the week he gets 30 points, maybe this is the week he gets 7, but, you know, that's a risk I'll take on a bye week.
Yeah, I agree. Gabe definitely is getting suppressed, like, yeah, like you said, a lot of people are kind of putting Gabe Davis off for dead, but he's a guy that you can absolutely just kind of throw in there. Dawson Knox, I'm a little bit more concerned because of his contract situation. I don't know if the Bills are just going to cut him with the 3 years remaining into a 4 year, $52 million contract. And I don't know who's going to trade for that either, because in my mind, he hasn't been that impressive. So I guess maybe they could cut him and then he just signs a league min deal somewhere else. But I feel like there's a lot of dead money left. It does say there is a potential out in 25 when I'm looking at spot track. So I don't know, maybe next year. But yeah, I do say, you know, he is kind of thought after it, like completely thrown for dead at this point. So he could be something, but not a guy that I've ever loved. But then again, I love Gabe too much and he's still in a great offense. So if Kincaid, you know, is a slow burner, slow starter, maybe Dawson Knox catches a few touchdowns early in the year and his value goes up and you could flip him for something.
All righty, let's get into our final team of the day, New York Jets. The Jets had a busy offseason getting Aaron Rodgers and his literal friends coming in. Bringing in Rodgers was huge. They actually have a real NFL quarterback now. We don't have to bother Zach Wilson anymore. They brought in one of our sweethearts of the podcast, Izzy Abanikanda, which was a huge bummer to see that happen. That hype train got derailed real
so
quick.
So sad.
And they're also another team that's linked to Dalvin Cook, which is also just another weird one. They have Garrett Wilson, whose value has skyrocketed since bringing in Aaron Rodgers. They brought in Lazard. They brought in Mecole Hardman. They brought in Randall Cobb. They still have Corey Davis there as well. It's kind of like the opposite of Miami, where you don't really quite know which receiver is going to fill what role besides Garrett Wilson. So there could be value to be found there. I mean, it's an Aaron Rodgers-led offense, and people forget that Rodgers was hurt a big chunk of last year. You know, people calling him washed and whatnot. I mean, I think Rodgers is a weirdo, but he's good at football. And, you know, when you play hurt, you're not going to do as well, especially when you're 38, moving on 39. Jared, what are your opening thoughts about this Jets offense?
I was looking up Davante Adams' stats because I wanted to see how many targets are possible in the Aaron Rodgers-led offense. But then I saw that Davante Adams had 180 targets last year. Like, God damn, they were just feeding him last year in Las Vegas. Derek Carr loved that man. Like, good for Davante Adams. That man can get open. He's a beast. But he did have 169 targets twice in Green Bay. We've seen Aaron Rodgers can absolutely give an elite target share to an elite player. And I think that Garrett Wilson is an elite player. So I think even though his value is extremely high right now, he's still a guy that can produce at that level. And I'm really excited for him in this offense. I think, like you said, the big question marks can come outside of that in the wide receiver two spot. And then also sort of the running back spot as well, because we don't know what's going on with Breece and when he'll be back. Although for a dynasty perspective, by Breece, we love Breece. He's going to be the starter. But Alan Lazard is valued a lot higher than Corey Davis right now. And we've kind of seen value from Corey Davis sometimes in previous years. You know, he's not a dominant fantasy player by any stretch of the word, but he's kind of irrelevant. He's like valued as like a wide receiver 100 or something right like that right now. And Alan Lazard, he obviously does have that connection with Aaron Rodgers. He's a great kind of fake block, go out for the like quick slant player, and he's been fantastic at that for Rodgers, and I think that will remain. But I could absolutely see Corey Davis being familiar with the offense already, being the number two wide receiver on the outside, and Lazard coming in for plays where he's blocking because he's a great blocker, or just a few trick plays where he's, you know, doing the fake. So I think Corey Davis is actually an interesting player to go and trade a fourth or pick up off waivers or something like that. Thank you. Yeah, I think Corey Davis is, you know, can be a spot up, a fill-in player if you need that on your roster and for super cheap. And then just really quickly, you know, I'm upset that the Jets are in the rumors for Dalvin Cook. I hope that it's just because they don't want Miami to get him. And so they're like, okay, we would take him. But that still hurts for Breece. That hurts his, you know, fantasy ceiling this year. I think Breece can be an extremely good fantasy option, even with Dalvin, but his ceiling is incredible, you know, without being being the number one consistent on the field, you know, 70% of the offense kind of guy. So I hope that he's back earlier rather than later. But that doesn't really bode well looking at Dalvin Cook. That, you know, kind of scares me for his overall health and expectations early on in the year. But I do expect, you know, his future to still be bright and for him to be one of the best young running backs in the league. So from a dynasty perspective, if anybody is scared that, you know, of the rumors, definitely go buy Breece. But I think, you know, early in the year, I might have to push my expectations a bit lower than I was hoping.
Yeah, I'm not too, as a Breece owner, I'm not too bummed about the Dalvin, rumors, because, you know, it does make sense. I mean, their star running back coming into a sophomore year with the torn ACL, and you don't want him taking those hits that Dalvin will take. You know, kind of think of like the Zeke and Pollard thing last year is how I kind of view it. With Dalvin doing some of the dirty work, Michael Carter doesn't really project as that. Zonovan Knight's just, I mean, he's an undrafted guy who got thrust into a role. And Abanikanda is much more speed, you know, one way. Raw type of player that I could definitely see them with the veteran core that they have, bringing in someone like Dalvin to take those hits away from Breece. That said, Jared, you're right. If anyone ever values Breece any lower because of that, then, you know, go ahead and take Breece off their hands for them because they don't deserve it. If you don't think Breece Hall at this point in his career is not a better football player than Dalvin Cook, and is not going to get his, and especially after this year, when Dalvin Cook's not even on the Jets anymore, you know, I mean, then definitely go acquire Breece Hall from that person. Josh, what are you thinking?
Yeah, I like the Corey Davis take. I think that Corey Davis has slept on. But this is another one of those teams that I think they're just going to run the ball and play defense. I think Aaron Rodgers is going to kind of be asked to be more of like a game manager.
Nathaniel Hackett, forgot to mention him.
Nathaniel Hackett is the OC. And the pass offense is going to be super consolidated. All Garrett Wilson. It's all going to – the entire passing offense is going to go through Garrett Wilson. The entire rush offense, I think, is going to go through Breece Hall. I don't think the Jets get Dalvin Cook. Breece Hall might miss like the first one or two games. Maybe they like slowly ramp him up. But I fully expect Breece Hall to just be like full systems go very early on in the season. I expect by like week five, like Breece Hall is like bell cow running back again. What I'm projecting for him, like last year, okay, so last year, Breece Hall, what? He was like 20 and three quarters years old, something like that. He averaged 5.8 yards per game, averaged 4 targets a game, averaged 97 yards per game in his first 7 games in the NFL, then he tears his ACL. He was incredible. He looked
it was
unreal.
So exciting. I remember watching him on his climb up to the top, and I was like, it wasn't just like a running back getting more touches and like therefore doing better. I was like, this guy's so good.
He's so good. Breece Hall is so explosive. He's just an insane athlete. And if there's anyone that I'm going to bet on, it's a freak athlete that's 21 years old. Like he's still got a super young body. He's got a lot of wear and tear left on those wheels. He's built like an absolute behemoth of a man. I'm excited for Breece Hall this season. I'm not worried at him at all.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. Like I'm really excited for Breece. I'm drafting him everywhere in redraft and best ball. You know, I'd love to get him in Dynasty, but me and Kai's always talk. We can't make a trade to save our lives, but he's going to be a beast as soon as he sees the field.
First or bust.
I love Breece. I am excited for the Jets offense. I think it will be a lot of funneling to Garrett Wilson, which I love. but I also think there could be value in really any of these tight ends. I know last year, some people thought CJ Uzomah was going to be the guy, and it ended up being Tyler Conklin. But they also drafted Jeremy Ruckert and Zach Kuntz. I think Zach Kuntz had the highest RAS score ever for a tight end.
That dude's crazy.
So I really think, and they drafted Ruckert, I think, before him. So I, not that I know much about either, but I think all three of those guys, including Conklin, could, you know, should be rostered players in most leagues if you have a deep enough bench, because Aaron Rodgers has also proved that if a tight end can be good, you know, open a bit or show that he has good hands, you know, Aaron Rodgers will feed that guy as well. He trusts his tight ends. He likes his tight ends, and they don't have much outside of Wilson, like we said, and maybe Corey Davis every once in a while. So I think those guys are nice, interesting end of bench ads as well.
Also, if I were trying to compete this year, you know, I was looking at Keep Trade Cut, and they got Aaron Rodgers at quarterback 25. And, you know, at that back end of quarterbacks, it's difficult to project more than 2-3 years out anyway. I mean, would you feel comfortable doing that for anyone like Mac Jones, Derek Carr, Russell Wilson, you know, guys around him? You know, so I don't really think his age matters all that much, being that low ranked. And if you're trying to contend this year, getting Aaron Rodgers, you know, on a cheap, you know, bolster that quarterback 2 spot, I mean, that could be some good value there, because I think right now it's suppressed because, I mean, he's kind of crazy. He's older, which are legitimate things. But I think people are thinking he fell off last year, but without fully realizing the impact that that injury had on him.
I think it makes no sense he's below Derek Carr. I mean, that's, like, silly. And, yeah, some of those other guys as well, I think, get into some risky territory trading someone like Mac, who's, like, you know, 13 years his senior, or his junior, but Derek Carr and some of those other guys, like, you know, maybe a Ritter possibly, if you, you know, you don't believe in that either. So I do think, you know, he's an interesting buy as well, but it's hard to get quarterbacks off people, and it hurts to give up first for guys that are that old.
And odds are Rodgers is probably on a contender's roster already, so that's another thing to add.
It's very true. One last thing I wanted to add was that Aaron Rodgers, he's on that Brett Favre career arc, baby. He's going to spend 1 year on the Jets. It's uncanny. He's going to spend 1 year on the Jets, and he's going to go to the Vikings, and we're going to have the Aaron Rodgers-Justin Jefferson connection, and it's going to be glorious.
I need him to defraud the state of Mississippi, and then the arc is complete.
It's gonna happen soon. It's all on its way. It's all on its way.
It's coming. It's coming.
That,
Rodgers has 2 years
Rodgers
left.
That was his goal the whole time. He spent so much time under Brett Favre. He just became obsessed with being Brett Favre.
He is Brett Favre reincarnated.
Well, they're both crazy. So good for them. Yeah. All right. Any last words before we wrap up today?
Goodbye, my friends.
Right. This is Jared's last episode.
That's super cryptic.
Yeah.
Super cryptic. You gonna drop a bomb on us, Perlman?
Nah. Just playing.
All right. Well, that was our AFC East preview. We'll be back next week with some more AFC action. Not gonna promise a division yet because I don't know which one we're gonna do. We'll probably keep going geographically. But yeah, appreciate everyone listening in, and check us out next week.
Peace.